Well, thanks, worship team. This week was one of those weeks that, for whatever reason, my efforts and work on writing a message was exponential in time, and I just couldn't understand it. I guess there was a lot of things maybe I had to wrestle with the text before I could come to a place of writing it. I've said before, I'm going to say it again today, one of the most difficult, for me, difficult parts of being a pastor is that the Sunday morning message time just keeps rolling around, and it's great when you're in sync, but when things are going on in your life or you read a text and all of a sudden it hits you in a rather powerful way, there's a lot of personal work you have to go through, a lot of spiritual work you have to go through before you're ready to teach. And if you're not ready to teach, that's too bad, because 9 o'clock on Sunday shows up anyways. I am ready this morning, but I didn't see a lot of my family this week as a result of it. But we're going to trust that God had something for us today. I want to start off by talking about fruit, okay? If you have an orange, and you want to turn that orange into an orange tree, what you do is you take that piece of fruit and you bury it in the ground. Do you just take the seeds out and bury the seeds? No, you want to really bury the whole thing. The reason why is that fruit, what it's going to do is it's going to decay. And that decayed fruit actually becomes the energy source for the seed. It becomes like a natural fertilizer, perfect, designed by God kind of idea. So that as that tree then starts to sprout and grow from those seeds, you have a healthy tree that's got a good shot of not only growing to maturity, but producing a lot more fruit, okay? Now, we're going to use this analogy a couple different ways today. We're going to use the analogy of the fruit, but we're also going to use the analogy of the tree. But when we start today, I want to kind of dig a little bit into this idea of what this dead man walking idea, or this thing that we have to die to something. This last song we sang, Freedom by Darrell Evans, is the perfect song to kind of highlight not only what we're talking about today, but really what this whole series has been about. Next week is our final week in the series. We're excited to kind of get through this as we've looked at Galatians. But today, I want to focus a little bit more on this idea of the fruit, but more about also this death that takes place with us. As we've worked through this letter that Paul has written to the churches in Galatia, we have heard over and over and over again that the people don't have to do the things like religious types things or certain kinds of acts of circumcision or dietary laws or all these things that the Jewish people were doing in order to be seen right in God's eyes. The thing was, they had a group of people that were coming there that they called Judaizers that were saying, hey, we know you have freedom in Christ. It is through Christ that you are free. But also, you have to be circumcised, and also you have to follow these dietary laws, and also there are 613 different laws, and really, for God to embrace you, you know, you've got to do all this stuff. And Paul was livid. He was so angry at these Judaizers because he wanted the people in Galatia to know the only thing that is required for you to be seen right in God's eyes is that you be a follower of Christ. Because he has set you free from all that other stuff. Everything else, he called bondage. And I think we've experienced that. When we create our own personal list of what makes us okay in God's eyes, as long as I never say a bad word, as long as I always come to church on Sunday, as long as I this, as long as I only listen to this kind of music, as long as I this, as long as I that. And any time you step outside of that, maybe a word slips out of your mouth, the bondage or the law that you've built up to try and make you righteous, the minute you blow it, confirms to you that you're not righteous and you haven't made it. And so this idea that I have to do stuff, I have to be a nice person, I can't ever have a blowout in anger, I can't this, I can't that, and if I do, God's not okay with me. When you live that's what Paul said is living in bondage. And he said, in Christ you are free. In other words, you are not condemned by those things, because there's something that Christ did. And that's what I want to talk about today, is try and hone in a little bit on what that is that Paul's trying to get them to understand of how this freedom works within them. Now, last week, Adam did a great job of explaining what this freedom looks like. Paul listed what a life focused on Christ looks like, and those were the fruits of the Spirit. And so we can kind of see our tie into the fruit today. They're called fruit of the Spirit because they are the result of what grows from a life that is focused on Christ. So the life is the tree, so you would be a tree, and there would be certain things that your tree is going to grow in the form of fruit. And so what you should be growing is fruits of the Spirit. There are other kinds of fruits as well. In fact, let's go through a little bit of the list of fruits that we learned and saw just last week, okay? You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. When it comes to your spiritual life, this is very, very true, all right? So the first one, let's put that up here. Now, this stands for FOT is fruit of the Spirit, and the other side is going to be fruit of the flesh. So the first one is love. Love is one of the fruits of someone whose life is grounded, rooted in Christ, and it's what fruit, what benefit, what byproduct comes off of them. But it's as a result of being this tree, this person grounded in Christ, okay? Love, we've talked about before, it's more of an unconditional idea. It's very different from the love the world communicates. It means I love someone unconditionally. They don't have to do something to earn my love, okay? So love is one of the fruits. The next one is joy. When I mean joy, really with joy, people kind of confuse this with happiness. It's not happiness. This joy is more of a hope. I have joy because I hope for the future, or I hope for the best, or I hope because I know what my future in Christ is. And so I have joy, even though my circumstances may be difficult. Peace. Another way to maybe think of what peace is in your life is it's a form of trust. I have peace and comfort. I have trust. Trust in God. I have trust in what He's about. Trust in what He's up to in my life and the life of others. Patience. Patience is linked very closely with faith. You really can't be a patient person without faith. Think of our children. When they want to do something, they're impatient. They just need it to happen right here, right now. And it's a faith that we have, that it will come when it needs to, or maybe even just a faith it's going to come. And so someone with the fruits of the Spirit will show patience in their life. Kindness is another one. Kindness is just being a good person. I mean, that encompasses a lot of different things, but you're kind. You're kind to others. People identify you as a kind person. Goodness. Goodness is the idea of doing good for others. Being a good person is not just a state of mind, but it's an action. We help people out when they need it. Faithfulness. That's an overall trust in God. We trust God. Gentleness. That means that we're appropriate. We're gentle people. Not meek, not wimps, but we're gentle with people. Maybe you have something you can hold against them, or a way that you can maybe have the right to unload both barrels, and you choose gentleness and achieve the same result. Self-control. Now look at that list. This is the list of what a life looks like when someone's life is grounded in Christ. When that tree is a tree that is a tree that develops the fruits of the Spirit, these are the kinds of fruit that will grow on those branches. And the purpose of the fruit is to be shared with others, and so it is shared with others, and people benefit from the fruit. And if that fruit is taken and is replanted in somebody, that person too will grow into someone that also has these fruits. It's this idea of multiplying. It is important that we look at our lives and start to identify what kind of tree are we, what are we grounded in, and what is the fruit that we're producing. Now, Paul went on as he was talking, and he talked about people that live their lives for themselves, people that live their lives in a way that Christ is something of a side activity or not necessary. They know about Christ, probably even go to church, but there's just something, it's like I'm just not really bought in. On the outside, people think I am, but inside I know full well I'm not bought into this thing. And he said that life that's not rooted in Christ also has fruit. So you get fruit one way or another. And this is the kind of fruit he says comes from that tree. sexual immorality. This is, sex before marriage, adultery. It says impurity comes from this tree. Impurity, maybe this is pornography, be a myriad of other things. Lustful pleasures. Lustful pleasures, that idea that, when you go on a date, you got to make it to first base or second base or whatever it is. Lustful pleasures. Idolatry is on there as well. That's money, materialism, things that we seek after in this world to fulfill us. It's the gods that we worship. And there's plenty of those. Sorcery. Sorcery is really the belief in something other than God that has power over your life. For some of you, it could be, calling, what's that psychic, Chloe? Is she on that 800 numbers or what, or 900 numbers? I don't know, but you see them on TV every once in a while, psychic advisor. Could be your horoscope. Could be as simple as a fortune cookie. Could be as simple as that thing that goes on in your head. If I do this, then this good thing will happen to me. As if there's some aura or karma out there that's going to somehow make your world better. That's sorcery. Others don't necessarily need a lot of explanation. Hostility. Quarreling. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Selfish ambition. Dissension. Division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I don't want you to pick on each other later if you're husband and wife here today or parent, child. I want you to be as honest with yourself as you can. Okay? Poker face. No one has to see what you're thinking. But I want you to look at these lists and I want you to identify with one of them. This is key, that you are honest with yourself. Like me, you've got some in each category. None of us are all one or the other. Even if it was all bad, you're not all bad. But we're probably leaning one way or another. You see, now I want you to think of it from a different perspective. What would the people in your life put your list together as? Your coworker. That person in your life you don't get along with, where would they put you? And why would they put you there? The people you love most close to you. Parents, where would your children put you? Children, where would your parents put you? Can't just claim hormones. Wives, where would your husbands put you? Every day of the month. Husbands, where would your wives put you? Even in the middle of the football game. You see, Paul gives us this list because he wants us to know that there's a reality to this. We each produce a certain kind of fruit. And that fruit is what the world gets to see in us. And it's that fruit that gets multiplied by those that are around us. It's very important we identify where we're at on this list and what kind of fruit we're producing. Like I said, like me, you probably have both. But for those of us that love God with all our hearts, it is very discouraging to see that we have stuff on the flesh side. I really think that this is Satan's greatest tool in the life of the Christian, is to remind us again and again how far we fall and how much of this stuff is in our lives as followers of Christ. I think Satan wants to just drill that in your head. I think every time you blow it, he wants to remind you of how terrible you are and how you don't own up and how God could never accept you. And I want you to know this, even this list, if this list becomes your focus, it becomes the law, and the law will condemn you. Your goal is not to say, I want to be more this and less that. Your goal has to be something completely different. Because if you say, I'm just going to be good, I'm going to do more peace. That's what I did. I'm doing more peace, and less sorcery. That's my thing. I want you to know that, you know, you can toss away your crystal ball, and you know, you can open your fortune cookie and never read the fortune. You do all your little tricks you can do. But the bottom line is that it's not going to make you more righteous, because you're barking up the wrong tree. It's like going to the grocery store and picking up an orange and saying, this orange is going to help me become an orange. This orange is going to help me be an orange tree. I'm going to rub it on me, and I'm going to keep it in my pocket all the time because I know it's got to ferment and stuff, and I'm going to keep it, and one of these days I'm going to be an orange tree. You ain't going to ever be an orange tree. It's what you are that's going to produce these things. So you have to focus on what you are, not what you want to be, not things or some list that someone says if you do all this, because you can buy all the fruit in the grocery store you want, you'll never be the tree that produces it. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at just three verses today. Verses 24, 25, and 26. And this thing that we have to do about this list comes right out of these verses. So we're going to see what Paul has to say to us. It's on page 893 if you're using the Memorial Bibles. I hope you're getting in the habit of bringing your Bibles on Sunday. I hope you're getting in the habit of writing in your Bibles and making notes, because God wants you to learn something. And it's amazing when you come back to these verses and you look at a few notes that you wrote in the margins, and it kind of reminds you, oh yeah, I do remember that. Don't leave your Bible all clean and fresh and whatnot. Someday you're going to die and your grandkids are going to pick up your Bible and you go, oh, well, pretty fresh. They want to see it marked up. And believe it or not, I have grandparents' Bibles that are all marked up, and I read them often. When I'm studying for a message, I'll grab them, see what thoughts Grandpa or Great-Grandpa had when he came across these passages. It's part of a legacy that you pass on. So enough of that. Write in your Bibles. Galatians 5, we're going to look at verse 24 first. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. This is our reality. For those of us that belong to Christ, that part of ourself that wants to do wrong has been killed through crucifixion. And it's been killed through crucifixion because of what Christ did. You see, Christ took our sin on the cross, and not only our sin, but our sin nature. Do you know you have a sin nature, a part of you that wants to sin? Is anyone not sure if they have a sin nature? Because the people that love you most will help you identify it. Yeah, we all have it. There's a piece of us that just seems to want to do wrong. I don't know what it is. Those that are trying to follow Christ, it just drives us nuts. Because, you know, life seems to be going just fine, then all of a sudden it's like there's this thing in us that, like, diverts our attention and says, do this. And you're like, I don't want to do that. I mean, I want to do that, but I don't want to do that. It's a struggle that we have. Christ took our sin and our sin nature, that part of us that wants to sin, and crucified it. It was a one-time act. Notice the way the words are written. It's not something we have to do again and again. It doesn't have to be re-crucified over and over and over. It was a one-time act. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed. Done. When you become a follower of Christ, there is a part of you that died. You are a dead man walking. There's something in you, a nature, a sin nature in you that was crucified painfully. The phrase is used, of course, of inmates who are on death row. And when they get, when they have their final supper and the cell is opened up and the cuffs and ankle chains are on, they walk them from the cell to the execution chamber. That's where they say, dead man walking. He's alive, he's walking, but he's just as well dead because he's going to be executed. Dead man walking. Here's the truth. We are no longer ruled by that sin nature. You should be sensing a little bit of disbelief at this point. Scripture says that when you became a follower of Christ, it was crucified. It was dead. The sin nature within you is dead. We're not ruled by the nature because we have power through God to make a different choice. Not a one of us has ever been perfect. And we're going to still stumble. I'm not saying we're not going to stumble. But many of us are stumbling a whole lot more than we should be. God has given you the power to make the right choice through the Spirit. You have a choice to make in life, and when you are tempted to do one thing, you have the power to make a choice to do something different. And there are a lot of us that are choosing the wrong thing just way too many times, because if you are a follower of Christ, the sin nature in you has been crucified. And it's like we're trying to resurrect it all the time. We're trying to bring it back to life. Kind of the Frankenstein scene. Paul says this again in the book of Romans. I'll just put it on the screen for you there. Romans 6, 11 and 12 says, "So you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires." So he's clear. You need to consider yourselves dead to the power of sin. But sometimes we think sin has all the power. That's Satan's trick for us as followers of Christ. He wants you to know that you are a sinner and a failure. And the more he does that, the more we turn towards that. But that sin is dead to us. We have a choice, and we can make the right choice. How? We truly turn our lives over to Christ. And when we do fail, which we will, forgiveness is there. But the mark of a Christian who fails is that when they realize that they have failed, when they've been confronted by a brother or sister, when they realize the error of their ways, inside them, deep down in their hearts, they desire to do something different than that. The concern should be if you're the kind of person that says, "Oh no, I'm all good with it, I just need to hide it better." That's the wrong kind of fruit. Look at verse 25. This is where Paul is going to tell us exactly how to live this way. Okay? Verse 25, he says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Sounds easy, doesn't it? If there is a list that we focus on, a list to make us righteous, which is always what we're looking for, we're trying to build the law up again by following a list of do's and don'ts. If there is a list, this is that list. The only thing that's required for us to be righteous in God's eyes is to live by the Spirit. To live by the Spirit is this. You might want to make a note of this. To live by the Spirit is to set our minds to the things of Christ and the work of God. To live by the Spirit is to set our minds to the things of Christ and the work of God. Scripture is a great resource for that. As I read Scripture, I get to hear the mind of God. I get to have it transform me. Nature is another great one. I go into nature and I look and I see God's handiwork. It confirms to me that He is there, that He can hear me, that He is paying attention to me, and that He is a God of beauty, and He is a God that creates wonder, and that He put me here at this place, and He loves me and has a plan for me. I love being in nature. The reality in my life of God's power sometimes is even more amazing. Your mom probably always said this to you, that it's better to give than to receive. Why is that? Anybody know why? Just from your personal experience. Why is it better to give than receive? Yeah, there's something that when you give, that you receive, don't you? If someone gives you a gift, that's awesome. Love it. But isn't there something even cooler when you give a gift to someone that they just really is the right one for them? Or if there's just a warmth that you get no other way. When you live out the fruits of the Spirit, it comes back in spades. These are just realities that we live with that prove that when we live by the Spirit, it changes us. When you go out of your way to help someone. There have been many times in my life where someone has needed help and I thought, I'd rather be doing anything but that. And you go and you help them out. It's hard work or whatever it might be. How do you feel afterwards? Pretty darn good. That's God's blessing to you for being a blessing to others. And unless you start living your life in the Spirit, following the Spirit's leading, you're going to miss out on all that stuff, and none of it will seem worth it. One of my life verses ties right into this, Proverbs 16:9. It says, "The mind of the man plans his way, and the Lord directs his steps." I need to set my mind on Christ, and as I plan my way, God's going to direct my steps. This verse doesn't mean, Doug, go figure out whatever you want to do, you know, take over the world or whatever, and God's going to direct your steps. That's foolishness. Has ties in with what Paul's saying here, that if I put my mind on Christ and the things of God, the things of the Spirit, and God is going to direct my steps in that way, and the fruit in my life will be appropriate fruit. The follower of Christ is directed and goes where the Spirit leads. I'm going to let you in on a little secret about me. When I was younger, I liked to party. And whatever your definition for party is, I've been there. I loved it. Look forward every weekend. I look for every weeknight that I could create it. I want you to know that today I have lost that desire. I've focused my mind and my heart on Christ. And that part of me, that nature of me that loved to do those things, died somewhere along the way. I could be tempted right now. Someone could come to me and say, "Hey, Doug, we got this great party, and there's going to be this there and that there and this there." Zero temptation for me. I've moved on to other things in my life that bring me joy. There's another kind of fruit that I see has a greater benefit to my family and those that I love, and even in my own life. But this is the warning part for me. Is that the minute I take my eyes off Christ, I could be right back into that in a moment's notice. It's a daily effort to keep my eyes focused on Christ. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? Remember when he was walking on water? It's been such a cool deal. But when he stepped out of the boat, what first happened to him? He is sinking. And why was he sinking? He didn't keep his eyes on Christ. He kept his eyes focused on Jesus. And that's where the water becomes solid ground. In classic form here in verse 26, Paul does this always. He gives a principle and then follows it up with very direct application. And this application may in some ways seem like it's just for these churches at that time when this letter was written. But believe it or not, there's the same issues that he talks about in this application that affect our churches today. Verse 26, he says, "Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." In other words, he's saying, I want you to live by these, the Spirit, and not by the things of the flesh. And I want you to walk by the Spirit, and let me tell you what that looks like in your church. Okay? He says, this means be conceited or provoke one another, be jealous of one another. So just apply what we're just now talking about. I see a lot of conceit in the church today, a lot of people who think too highly of themselves, their positions, their abilities. I see people that like to provoke one another, where little issues over here, and so they like to come over here and stoke it, you know? Terrible things. I see people that are jealous of one another. It's never good. Not fruit of the Spirit. If your spiritual life is a tree, what kind of fruit are you producing? How do the people in your life feel about the fruit that you offer others? Take a look at this list one more time. Some of you need to hear something this morning. And I do not mean to attack you personally at all. But here it goes. Some of you need to hear that you're not a very nice person to be around. A lot of your friends may not want to say it. But you're wearing. You're negative. Complaining. Dragging others down. And I'll tell you this, 100%, I promise you this. The only reason why you're living your life that way is because you're not keeping your eyes focused on the Spirit. You're focusing on the other things. You're focusing on how terrible your job is. And so what kind of fruit comes from a person that focuses on how terrible their job is? Huh? What kind of fruit comes from that? Negativity, ugliness, yuck, anger, poor working, maybe even stealing because you think that you deserve something. If your kids are difficult, and that's your focus is on how terrible my kids are, what do you get from that? What's born of that? What's that? Oh yeah, they live it out for you, don't they? Oh, you think I'm terrible? Surprise! Yeah, sure. Or just that feeling that you have to live with on a day-to-day basis. What about that person you can't forgive? You dwell on that person, you dwell on your hatred for them, you dwell on the terrible things they did for you, you dwell on it and dwell on it, what do you get? When you set your mind on something, that is the fruit you will get. There are people in my life that I despise. I caution on using the word hate, but in times of my life I feel like it has fit. And I have despised these people because of the things that they've done to me, the things that they've said to me, and it has poisoned me to my soul, the core of who I am. And I decided a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, in fact, I shared it on a Sunday morning, that I would pray for these people. Because Scripture says, pray for your enemies. And I just think that's ridiculous. I feel like that new country song. You guys heard that one? Yeah, it's, I pray a flower pot falls on your head. I pray you fall from a 747. I don't know, however the song goes. It's really a weird way of praying for somebody. What's that? Yeah, losing the brakes, right. You know, it just goes on and on. And I laugh when I hear that song. I go, oh man, I can relate to this. But I tell you what, when you start praying for someone and praying for good in their life, not pray that they'll get it straight. You know, that's the wrong kind of prayer. Lord, I pray that they'll just figure this out, that they're wrong and I'm right. It has nothing to do with that. But you pray for their goodness. You pray that they're blessed. You pray that they have a great day. You pray that good things happen to them. You pray that things are going good with their kids. You pray that things are going good with their finances. You pray that things are going good at the new church that they're at. You pray all these things for them. And I tell you, the weirdest thing happens. Something changed in me. And when I see those people, I don't want to run away. I don't want to attack them. I actually can go up to them and genuinely care about them and I think love them. I still have a long ways to go in a lot of areas of my life, but I promise you this, that when you put your mind on things of the Spirit, it will change you, and the end result will be a life that has the fruit of the Spirit. You can't go the other way, guys. You can't say, I want this fruit of the Spirit. Whatever, it's all right. It's back there if you need it. If you can't say, I want the fruit of the Spirit, and so I'm going to pick them, and I'm going to work real hard to be them. That's not going to turn you into a tree. You need to focus on getting your eyes focused on the things of the Spirit first, and you don't have to worry about the other. The fruit just shows up. If your focus is to get the fruit, you've now created the law again, and it will condemn you, and Satan will be sure he lets you know that. But if you focus on putting your eyes on the Spirit, just trust, have faith, the fruit will show. That's how it works. Today I'm free. And it's my hope that you are as well. To close our service, I'm going to have you do one more thing that's going to be tough. I want you to identify one of the bad fruits in your life. And you're going to have to probably look that way, unless you wrote them down. I want you to pick one. You identify with, probably others identify with. Just one. Don't make your big list. Just one. Then what I want you to do is I want you to look at the fruits of the Spirit. And I want you to pick one that you think most closely replaces it. Put one disclaimer to this. If you're not seeking Christ or a follower of Christ, what I'm telling you to do will not work. Okay, this is only for those that are that tree is rooted in that area, but for whatever reason the fruit's not quite coming out as well as it should be. Okay, but if you're rooted in Christ, if your desire is to follow Him, you guys rock back there. Thank you. If you get to that where you're rooted in Christ, then this can work. Okay, so. Now what I want you to do is set your mind to that fruit. Set your mind to that fruit. Ask God to help you see that fruit, to live out that fruit, for that fruit to be a part of who you are as a person. And I want you to think of that negative fruit just as often and remind yourself that that part of you is dead. And let the good fruit overpower the bad. God will give you the opportunities. It could be this afternoon or tomorrow, you're going to get confronted with something that's going to bring that, whatever that negative thing is, just roaring like a lion. And you'll be fully aware, this is my test. What are you going to do about it? And I want you to do the opposite. I want you to love. I want you to have goodness or patience or whatever it is. I want you to strive for it. Keep your mind focused on the things of the Spirit, and the things of the Spirit will be a part of your life and be part of the fruit in your life as well. Deal? Deal? Okay. Let's stand for the benediction. I feel we need one of those today. Go from this place free. Free to choose Christ, free to walk in the Spirit, and free to love others. Set your mind on this freedom, because in the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. You are free. Amen. Go live it.